June 7th, 2023, City of Rome Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. It is approximately 6:30 p.m. Get started by introducing the members of the panel. Raymond Tucker.
Present.
Michelle Reed.
Present.
Jim DeCastro.
Here.
John Magellino.
Present.
And John Cervello. I am here. We also have Angie Toomey from the City Attorney's Office and Mark Domenico from the Code Enforcement Office. We have a few items on the agenda, a few tabled items. We're just going to get going with the first non-tabled item on the agenda, which is, let's see here, item 23-001 regarding 600 North James Street. Andrew Cotello and Anthony DiPerno, signed contractor slash owner of 600 North James Street, are seeking to remove and replace the existing freestanding sign with a 4 foot by 24 foot digital message sign to advertise off premise businesses. There's actually two items with this one, but this is the first one. It is a use variance because in a C1 district in Rome Zoning Code, section 80-12.2, table 12-1, a billboard is listed as a non-permitted use in the C1 zone district. They're also coming to the board for another item, item number 2. The applicant is also proposing to convert the existing car wash building into a warehouse use. This requires a use variance as well, because in a C1 zone, Rome Zoning Code, article 12, table 12.1, in the use matrix, a warehouse is not listed as an approved use. Is there anybody here to represent this project? If you're here to represent, we're probably going to have you speak a little bit. So if you can come forward and just state your name, your address, and your relationship to the project.
Okay. Mike?
If it's working. Yeah, is it working?
Yeah.
You can take it out. If it,
yeah.
There you go.
Anthony DiPerno, I'm with Victory Sign.
And you're the current owner of the property?
No.
Proposed
Andrew
owner.
Cotello is actually the current owner of the property.
All right. Mr. DiPerno, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so you have, let's start with item number one. You're looking to do the digital message sign?
Correct.
And in your application, you're probably fully aware of this. You, to get a use variance, we ask you to hit certain standards. And for everybody, I just read these into the record, and they were in your application. So when you describe your project for us, just try to include each one of these standards. The four standards are: number one, the appellant cannot realize a reasonable return provided that lack of return is substantial, as demonstrated by competent financial evidence. Number two, the alleged hardship relating to the property in question is unique and does not apply to a substantial portion of the district or neighborhood. Number three, the requested use variance, if granted, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And number four, the alleged hardship has not been self-created. Got a quick question. Okay. All right. We're going to continue on the process of what we're doing. Okay. All right. So those are the four standards. Just tell us what about your project, and then we'll have a public portion, and then we'll have the question from the board.
Sure. So I submitted some renderings before and after. Do you have those?
We do.
You do. Okay. So I know some of these questions were kind of vague because there was one application for the two parts of it. So when I answered these questions, it kind of answered both of the variances together.
Okay.
So basically, Andy purchased the property. It was for sale for a very long time. He purchased the property with the intentions of an investment. And when he purchased the property, he realized at the time the car wash was just not going to be viable for him to continue running the car wash, especially with the other car washes in the area. So he decided that he wanted to try and still utilize the property. And his intention is to convert it to storage, which Andy does that. And he also has digital billboards. So those were the two things that seemed to work for the property. And as you can see, you know, a part of the project is revitalizing the building, and you can see that in the renderings. And part of that would be removing the old plywood signs that are on the building, which are actually being used as off-premise signs now, and putting a digital LED sign in its place. Do you want me to just keep on going down through
that? Yeah, so just, you know, like try to address the standards specifically if you could. Yeah, just put it on the record.
Sure.
I know it's in the document. I mean, you don't have to read it, but just.
Yeah, it was kind of wordy. Let me see if I hit the question to that standard again. Maybe I can address it really quickly shortly. The reasonable rate of return, and that's what we were talking about. Running it as an existing car wash just doesn't work, especially how dilapidated the building is. It's in really, really bad shape. It would need to be completely revitalized, and it just doesn't make sense doing something like that on James Street.
Okay. So next one is unique. If you want to... this property in question is unique, and then the other, you know, it's really... You actually, your document kind of outlines it. I just wish, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You can read it if you want. It's not, yeah. Or just like summarize each of your points.
The hardship is really, you know, boils down to the same thing. I mean, you can just take a look at the building. It's in really rough shape. It definitely something needs to be done with the property, and this seemed like to be the best option to move forward. I mean, if he left it the way it is, he could leave it as a running car wash as it is. I mean, it's so dilapidated and so falling down. It's not going to last very long. So I think the hardship is it's something has to be done there, and that's what he's willing to do.
All right. So real quick, and I know you said it's going to be going back and forth a little bit, but we are specifically addressing the variance for the sign.
Okay.
Right. So when you talk about hardship,
yes.
Talk about, you know, whatever you need to regarding getting the signs versus the actual building.
So, I mean, he's getting income off of these signs on the side of the building. There's three of them there. They're 4 foot by 8 foot. They're really dilapidated. They're in really bad shape. It just doesn't make sense leaving them up on the side of the building like that. It doesn't look good for the neighborhood, and it doesn't look good, you know, and it doesn't work for him. So that was the reason, you know, with LED new technology coming in, the sign's going to be run the same way. It's going to be a static sign. It's not going to be run as a movie display or motion display. It's just going to be a static style sign. So even though it will change, it will just look like an illuminated sign running, and the messages will change about every 8 seconds, I believe, at a minimum every 8 seconds.
Character of the neighborhood?
You know, it's a commercial district. I know there is some residential in the area, but I feel that this is probably the lowest impact that you can have on that type of commercial building. Again, the sign's going to have no motion to it. It will be the, you know, LED, but it'll have no motion and the sign will change.
Self-created? Was the hardship self-created?
I really don't feel it's self-created. He wants to change the use of the property just because the car wash just doesn't work anymore. A small car wash like that, when you have these big competing car washes, just really don't work. The small community car washes don't work. So it's not really self-created. He needs the signage as the income by getting rid of the car wash. So that's the hardship, I guess.
All right, I'm sure we'll have some questions, so let's just move on to the next stage, and then we can ask you some questions.
Okay.
Anybody wishing to speak on this? We can open up the public portion of the meeting. If anybody is wishing to speak regarding this.
So Andy went around to the neighbors, and he started a petition going around just asking the neighbors what they thought, and he went to all the neighbors around that neighborhood, and he got 21 signatures of approval.
Okay. I'll take those. All right, thank you. Okay, so no one here wishing to speak? All right, public portion is closed. Do we have any correspondence? So, all right. This is from New York State Department of Transportation regarding the use variance at 600 North James Street, Rome, New York. Good morning. As requested, the New York State Department of Transportation, New York State DOT, has reviewed the seeker information related to the proposed use variance for property located at 600 North James Street in the city of Rome. Upon review of the information provided, the New York State DOT does not have issues with the development as proposed. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. Beth, it's signed Beth Watts, PEPTOE, Planning and Program Management, New York State DOT, Mohawk Valley Region, Genesee Street, Utica, New York. That's it? Okay. Board questions.
Sure. Yeah. Hi. Your relationship to the project again was?
So I'm the sign company.
Okay.
So I was pulling the permit for the sign. It just made sense to do both of them together. And we talked to Mark Domenico. It just seemed like it was better to merge them together. So I guess I'm speaking on the behalf of both. But Andy is here. If you got any questions for him, I'm sure he'd be willing to answer
them. Yeah. One question was, what are the intended hours of operation? Is this going to be 24 hours a day running, or is it going to be certain start?
The intention is to have it 24 hours. It does not have to. It can shut off anytime. If the board decides, says they don't want it to run after 10, 11, whatever time it may be, we can shut the sign off. And he's more than willing to accommodate, you know, if you feel that that's a necessity. These signs do dim down at night. They have the ability to dim down during the day as well as night. So it will fit the care. It will look like an illuminated sign at night, just like any other illuminated sign, you know, in a business district at night. And because he's not running motion, you're not going to have the motion of it. It's just the message will just change is what will happen.
Okay. And was there any discussion on a smaller sign?
So, yes. Actually, so I see it said 4 by 24.
Yeah.
The intention was a 4 by 16, which is smaller than what is currently there now. And you'll see that probably in some of the paperwork as it went down the line. I don't know how that got into the actual variance, but I think the discussion started as a 4 by 24.
So the actual, so what's the size?
It would be a 4 by 16.
It will be 4 by 16.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
I don't know who will answer this one. Your rendering here, the building that you're going to fix.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to talk the rendering on the building and what you're going to fix. Are you resheathing it or are you painting it? What's your intentions to make it look like this?
Completely resheathing it.
You're completely going to resheathe it?
Yes.
How about the existing asphalt all around it? You're going to leave that and just...
So there is intention to improve the property totally.
Okay.
I don't know, Andy, would you be planning on paving it or are you going to plan on tarring it?
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Catella, if you're going to talk, we need to swear you in, so you got to come down. That's the rule, everybody. Again, state your name, your address, and your relationship to the project.
Sure. Andrew Cotello, 4396 Peterborough Street, Vernon, New York.
And you're the owner?
Yes.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about what you're going to do with the property.
Basically, we like to put...
Yeah. Well, yeah. You wanted to know about the...
So... ahead. Talking about the pavement there, we want to seal it the first year to get through this year, and then next year we'd like to, you know, repave the whole thing.
Okay. Do you have any other question? That was your question. Okay. No.
I do. Just for the sign.
Yeah, I do.
Raymond.
Okay. So, do you have any financials to show us, yeah, like
that's
what it's making right now? Your taxes are insurance. What you're making for sign rent, what you're going to make for sign rent afterwards, what you're going to get for a storage building?
Currently, I don't. But, I mean, if you look me up, you see I own VVS Mini Storage, VVS Self Storage, and I own a digital bill, two digital billboards in Yorkville, one on Commercial Drive and one in Vernon.
And then I would say you can get us that data, right?
Oh, in relation to the property? We haven't set forth anything with relationship, you know, with that yet.
That's kind of...
What are you getting?
It's kind of the first criteria is for us to kind of look at competent financial that say you can't get a reasonable rate of return. So without having documents that show us what your current rate of return is and what your future rate of return is, we can't help. We can't meet that criteria. or you can't meet that criteria, I should say.
So
I'm sure we can get that information. I mean, there's no problem getting the information. I didn't realize you needed for this meeting, but yeah, it's something that we can definitely push forward. But as of right now, I mean, the car wash, is it even running?
Yeah.
It's not for running.
The car wash, for the signs. We just want to know what you're currently getting for the three signs that are there and what you're potentially going to get for the new sign that you want in place.
Okay, I can answer that for you.
You can't. Yeah, you really can't look at them separately. Yeah, you have to look at them all together.
So for the two signs we have there right now, because the first one fell off the building, so we just left it down. The two signs right now, we get $300 a month for each one. And then we put up the digital billboard sign. We would have approximately 15 customers, which would yield about $4,500 a month, $54,000
a year. So how many storage? So in those financials, you're looking at your sign? And
yes.
How many storage units?
Basically, there would be two. There's two bays there right now.
Okay.
And we thought that would be the most economic way to do it there.
Right.
So if we did run them to the public, first, we were thinking about renting them to ourselves so we could put our sign stuff there, use it for storage. The other way would be just to rent those as two units, and that would lessen the traffic there, you know, with a car wash.
So right now, you're just getting $900 a month for the signs.
$600 a month for the two signs.
But you're approved.
No, $200 each sign or $300 each sign?
$300 each sign, right, but one of them.
But he's approved for three, though. So he.
But he's got three in the building right now, right?
No.
Yes, he could.
There's two on the building right now and a political sign out.
Yes.
Now, right?
Yeah. The one that was on the first one that was on the building fell down, so we left it down because we didn't see the sense of.
Yeah.
But that's still permitted, and he could.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be.
So it's 900.
So.
But you so. The new sign you can. 4,500 a month.
You didn't have the digital.
So it's five times. Five times more.
Sustained
potentially.
So it would be 15 customers at $300 a month.
So the sign is, it's one large sign versus two smaller signs, two different ones that will have different messages on it?
Yes, it
so
would
it's
be.
One large one? Okay.
Now, did you say what you'd get for your rental units?
Those size, we would get about $350 a month for each one of those. So potentially would produce about $700 a month.
I mean, that's income numbers. Raymond, we didn't talk about cost.
Is it mortgage? Do you have insurance or upkeep?
Utilities.
We have standard insurance on it right now because, you know, it's we're not using it as the car wash. But as soon as we'd have the sign up, you know, it would be insured for the value of the sign plus the value of the property.
You got to get all your financials together. And
you got to
get them for us and accurately and try to show some proof of it.
I think we're definitely willing to entertain it, but without the finance, we need to see the financials before we can make any decision on it. So we would probably likely table it. And then if you can get that to us before the next meeting, then I mean, if that's what the rest of the board wants.
Well, it's in our criteria. I mean, that's what we discussed before.
I'll make the motion to table the application for the chance to get the financial data.
Okay. Is there anything else that we're looking for?
I'll second.
Okay.
Just make sure you try to bring as much proof, your taxes, your insurance, any tax, that you did, just so we have just some sort of a proof stick where you're going.
Okay. Thank you.
Hold on. We might have more discussion. Anything else you guys want to talk about? All right. So we have a proposal to table item 23-00-011. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say no. Okay.
So you want individually for each?
Yeah. So
no.
It's the
no,
whole pro. It's
the whole property.
It's the whole property.
Okay.
You make sure your income on the sheds, you know, that you
sure.
Just don't throw a number out. Just
make
sure you're right there and then we can see it.
Yeah, if you have any financial statements rather than just, you know, writing numbers down on a piece of paper. If you have any statements, you can show us, like
tax
statements,
electric,
mortgage statements, utilities, then, like actual statements.
And you have you would have a history of your other signs as to how, like the digital signs, how much they actually produce. Then, you know, say, well, a typical sign this size, you know, we'll do X amount of dollars.
And yes, we have different size signs. We have like one that's 10 by 20, 10 by 12, 4 by 8.
So you have a good history with that. You can at least give us a good estimate as to what you would make on the. I mean, you said $4,500 a month, but, you know, justify it with what your other signs are getting.
And we would, I think, if you had a power bill showing that sign, because that would also include in it, if you showed what that sign was.
Because that would be a cost. The cost is nothing right now.
Right. Yeah. So right now you're not using power, but if you had it and what it's going to cost you, we would take that.
Okay, thank you.
I think we're probably going to have to, I mean, if we just tabled 23011, does that mean both of the items? What's that?
Yes.
So we tabled both of the items there, so we're good to go?
Financial is going to be relevant.
All right, yeah. So we're good to go. We tabled both of the items. So next meeting, first Wednesday of the month.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Okay, moving on, we are actually going to take a little bit out of, we're going to do a little bit out of the order tonight, just because we have a somewhat larger one at 23-012. So we are going to consider 23-015 next. That's Aaron Reed, owner of 509 North Washington Street, is seeking to convert the existing two-family dwelling unit office space into a three-family dwelling unit, seeking a use variance because it's an RP zone in the Rome Code, Chapter 80, Article 6, Section 6.2 uses, Article 12.2, and the use matrix, a dwelling multifamily is listed as a non-conforming use. Is there anybody here to represent this project? All right, Ms. Reed, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? All right, great. So just like the last one, you are looking to do a use variance. So we are going to ask you to talk about the certain standards that you need to hit for the use variance. I'll just read. Should get these out. All right, so the standards again are: one, the appellant cannot realize a reasonable return provided that lack of return is substantial as demonstrated by competent financial evidence. Number two, the alleged hardship relating to the property in question is unique and does not apply to a substantial portion of the district or neighborhood. Number three, the requested use variance, if granted, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And number four, the alleged hardship has not been self-created. Again, tell us about your project, but try to include those standards in there. You can pick that up if you don't want to lean over. And I know it's more American Idol kind of stuff, but.
I bought this property a year ago. I bought it to move into it and turn it over. And I called the city to get. So my financial hardship is that I can buy a home.
Mm-hmm.
And rent somebody. And find somebody to rent that estate. Commercial.
Okay. You know what? Let's. We probably have some questions for you, so we can move on to the next step, and then probably be easier just to answer some questions, and because it'll be more specific as to what the board's looking for. All right, public portion. Anybody willing to speak, wishing to speak on this project? Nobody? Public portion is closed. Any correspondence from any governmental agency? I don't think we do, do we? Do we? Okay. This is subject multiple projects, City of Rome. This one is regarding 509 North Washington Street. As requested, the New York State Department of Transportation has reviewed and provided comments for the following projects. Aaron Reed, 509 North Washington Street, use variance to convert two-family dwelling with office space into a three-family dwelling. New York State DOT does not have issue with the action as proposed. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. Signed, Beth Watts, PEPTOE. Planning and Program Management, New York State DOT, Mohawk Valley Region, 207 Genesee Street, Utica. Okay. Board members, do we have any questions for Ms. Reed?
You accepted your financial. This is the same
Which is what?
Did you say that both upstairs apartments are rented right now? Okay. Is that, yeah, is, I mean, another one of your options, I guess, could be to combine the upstairs, but if they're both rented to two different people, then you would go back down to a two family, I guess, at that point. So I think as far as financials go, the third unit, we're kind of looking to see whether you would,
I don't want to get to it.
She's already being charged three waters.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to speak at this point?
Okay, sure.
She's already being charged three waters.
Residential.
And she's got two, it's residential, converted residential. So the two units are upstairs were already in place. So it's already a multifamily, two upstairs, and the downstairs they're getting charged for the water. So there, she just wants to convert to from commercial to residential on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that your FHA loan would have looked into that when they did the title search or when they did the appraisal for that.
You're amongst many that have come through in the situation. And it was all advertised three families, and that's what you thought you were buying.
It's the office space, but it said multi-use. So and I figured I wasn't adding a unit. The unit was there. I didn't buy the
unit. But it was already a three family.
Three units.
Right. Correct. But what I'm saying is, was it, there was three apartments when you got there?
Was the office set up as an office, though, or was it already converted to an apartment? Yeah.
Kitchen, bathroom, and living area.
kitchen and bathroom and shower.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
Do we have any other questions?
No.
All right. We're going to vote on this then. 23-015, use variance, 509 North Washington Street. Convert the existing two-family dwelling unit office space into a three-family dwelling unit. Do a roll call vote. Raymond Tucker. Do we need a seeker on this? How about we, why don't you?
I'll make a negative declaration for a non-coordinator review on a short form seeker.
Second.
Second by, moved by Raymond, second by John. Any discussion on that? All in favor of the seeker say aye.
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 Opposed say no. All right, negative declaration for the seeker. All right, now back to 23-015, 509 North Washington Street. Raymond Tucker.
I've looked at the financials. She's not getting a reasonable return with two apartments. It's certainly unique to that neighborhood. Those are large, old homes. It's, you know, it's quite a, I think it's, what, almost 4,000 square feet or something. Yeah, it's a very large house. I don't believe it'll change the essential character of the neighborhood. If anything, it'll probably improve it. And I don't believe it was self-created. I think she entered in that real estate transaction in good faith and didn't realize getting into.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Did you vote? What'd you ask me? Did you say in favor?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Thanks, Raymond. Michelle Reed.
Yes, I am in favor because you did buy it. Honestly, as a two unit with the commercial downstairs, but they did represent it as a three unit, and that's what you thought you were buying. I'll approve it on that.
Thanks, Michelle. Jim DeCastro.
Yeah, it probably at one time that was a three family, and he used it, and he might have changed it back to a two and a one and not taken out the kitchen. So I'm in favor.
Thanks, Jim. John Mangelino?
I'm also in favor.
Thanks, John. I agree with my board members. It's a three unit. The doctor's office had probably more activity than your house will have, so the impact to the neighborhood will be less. Your financial hardship is evident in the documents that you provided to us. So I'm going to vote in favor as well. So you got an approval, 5-0 from the zoning board.
Thank you.
All right. All right, you're welcome.
Good luck.
I see the burden off your shoulder. Yes. Please, before you do anything though, just contact the codes office to make sure you guys are, you know, in building permits and compliance and all that. Okay. Great. Congrats. Good luck. All right. Before I move on to the other item, I just want to know, is there anybody here for the tabled items but is the applicant here? What's that? I know, but as a neighbor probably, right?
Yes.
Not as the, yes, sorry. So, the applicant is not here. As far, I mean, I know you wanted to listen to us talk for 35 minutes. So my guess is I was maybe waiting for them to show, but it doesn't look like they're going to be here. So I think, well, we'll get to that, but it'll probably not be considered tonight. It's right there. Okay, we are going to move on we have two more items on the agenda tonight. 23-012, Above Grid Rome Solar LLC, tenant of Tabor Road, tax map number 222.000-1-39.1, is seeking to construct a Tier 3 solar energy system, wherein the western setback of the solar array will encroach within the prescribed 200-foot setback. This requires an area variance, C2 zone, Rome Code Section 80-19.11-8, permitting requirements for Tier 3 solar energy systems A7F. Asks for a 200-foot setback, where I believe you've got a 50-foot setback, at least on one of the properties.
Asking for a 50 where 200 is required.
You're asking for 50, yeah. You require, yeah. I tried to say it that way. I don't know if that's what. Okay. Is anybody here to represent this project?
Yes.
All right. Can you please state your name, your address, your relationship to the project?
I think we're also going to talk about the other item that's associated with that, if you want
to
call it.
I'm not going to. It's not done as item one and item two on here, so it's two different agenda items. So let's just talk about the 50 foot to 200 right now.
Happy to.
Which seems like it's in reverse order, but.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what it's on my agenda.
That's okay. So. We'll play fair.
All right. Name, address, relationship.
Ari Goldberg from the law firm of Barclay Damon for the applicant Above Grid Rome Solar LLC.
Mr. Goldberg, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
All right.
200 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14202.
Okay. I forgot to tell you the address. I forgot to let you finish. Okay.
I think the others might speak too. Do you want to do them right now?
Yes, please. Might as well do it right now.
Nick Shupp, Renew Energy, 49 Sugar Maple Lane, Saugerties, New York. And then, yes, I do swear to tell the truth.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
All right. Did you say your last name was? What did you say your last name was?
Shupp. Joe Tassone, Jr., President of Above Grid, 3 Collin Drive, Glenville, New York. 12302.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I certainly do.
All right, great.
John Spinella, Spinella Engineering, 52 Oxford Road, New Hartford, New York, 13413.
Mr. Spinella, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. Okay. You guys have been here. You know what we do next.
Yes.
We are looking for a use variance, a little bit different than a... area variance is a little bit different than a use variance. And I'm just going to read the standards into, that's the special use permit. I'm not reading that. I don't know.
Happy to start with special use permit.
Too late.
Okay.
Too late. Let me just get to the.
Yeah, that's just late. Talking.
Here's the area. All right, I don't have the standards in front of me right now. Does anybody have the area variance standards? I should know these by heart, but
it's Exhibit 10 to the application in front of you, if you want.
Huh? You got it? Oh, that's at their application. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. All right. 4 standards. Number one, 5. Thank you. Jeez. It's 4 for use. Whether an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of the area variance. Number 2, whether the benefits sought by the applicant can be achieved by some method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than an area variance. Number 3, whether the requested area variance is substantial. Number 4, whether the proposed variance will have an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district. And 5, whether the alleged difficulty was self-created, which consideration shall be relevant to the decision of the Board of Appeals, but shall not necessarily preclude the granting of the area variance. All right. Again, we are only talking the setback on this one. So...
Okay.
Give us a scoop on the setback.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I mentioned, Ari Goldberg from the law firm of Barclay Damon for the applicants. I want to quickly touch on the project, and I think that'll lead nicely into each of the 5 criteria. So it's a 5-megawatt community solar array located at 5727 Rome Taberg Road. That's the vacant land behind the Walmart. Also accesses from Rome Taberg itself. The entire property that we're locating on is over 170 acres, but the applicant is only leasing the acreage necessary for the solar array, about 30 acres. Our area of disturbance is even less, about 27 acres. And then the array itself is 21 acres within the fence. I want to make it clear, too, that with the area variance, no decision is asked of you tonight. The way we're going through the sequencing is we require that the planning board complete their seeker process before you have the jurisdiction to issue an area variance decision. So briefly talk about the project a little more. So 5-megawatt community solar array. We've strategically designed the project to avoid significant disturbance to the substantial amount of wetlands that are on the property. We have under 1/10 of an acre of wetland disturbance with this design. Access to the array is taken from a pervious gravel road that has access off Rome Taberg Road. Nick is pointing to it right now. There's a second, less frequently used access point where we connect to the public utility. That's right from the plaza there. The entire array, as I mentioned, it's going to be fenced. You can see it on our site plan, C200, which is part of Exhibit 5 of the application materials. But for the point of utility interconnection right on that second access road, all the wiring is underground. That helps avoid significant wetland disturbance as well. Overall, as I mentioned, about 27 acres disturbed to accommodate the array, while the remainder of the 174-acre property is left untouched. And really crucial to the setback variance, if you're familiar with this area, you know that our western setback abuts a 675-plus acre undeveloped vacant parcel to the west there. Almost all of that abutting parcel is federal wetlands, making it practically undevelopable. And it's this abutting property line from which we seek the area variance.
Section is the wetland map.
Which wetland map?
There you go. Right. So Exhibit 9 or to our area variance application contains a detailed analysis of all the city lot criteria that the chairman initially entered in the record, and I'm going to briefly summarize each of those responses here. The new solar law adopted in January 2023 requires a 200-foot setback, but to accommodate our design that avoids the wetlands, we can only accommodate a 50-foot setback at that western border with that abutting vacant land. That requires a 150-foot setback, and hence the area variance. In all other areas, we do comply with a 200-foot setback. The solar panel closest to the road is set back over 500 feet from Rome Taberg Road, so we even have room to spare on that southern side. And as this board knows, the granting of an area variance is a balancing test of those five criteria. And the balance here shows that the benefit to the applicant is significant and detriment, meanwhile, is practically non-existent. Here's how we arrive at that balance. So under the first area variance criteria, granting this setback will not produce an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment nearby properties. The solar project, it produces no traffic, about 6 in-person visits a year, mostly remote monitoring. It's going to be screened by taking advantage of existing vegetation, and the closer we can get to that abutting property, the more we can rely on that existing vegetation and set it even further back from the road. I understand in a neighbor across the street submitted a letter. First of all, the letter incorrectly stated that the setback is 300 feet. It's 200 feet per the new solar law. But I think that neighbor concerns are squarely addressed by this variance, in fact, because we can screen the property by setting it back even further and setting it closer to land that is practically undevelopable. The abbreviated setback also permits a pretty strategic design where we can avoid substantial infringement on the wetlands that surround a property. You'll notice the pretty unique shape of the array. It's to avoid that wetland disturbance. And the further we can push to that western setback, the less chance we have of disturbing wetlands. Another thing to note on this factor is the variance puts this array one step closer to active use. The owner is the Rome Industrial Development Corporation. They have been attempting to market this property for years. Given the substantial wetlands, It's very difficult to do so. This is one of the first bona fide uses that's come through. If the variance is granted and other subsequent approvals are obtained, this becomes a more valuable property, better taxes, and RIDC can receive substantial income from their lease, and they can use those funds to benefit other projects. At the same time, that's one of the Rome Comprehensive Plan goals. It's to increase the tax base or make it stronger, and then increase other real estate developments. Additionally, this is 21st century green infrastructure. That's another Rome Comprehensive Plan goal, all of which are achieved by this variance and all of which indicate not a detriment to nearby properties. Last on detriment to nearby properties, or the lack thereof, we are going to be submitting a decommissioning plan and decommissioning bond. That means that in the rare event that someone other than the applicant needs to take this project down at the end of its useful life, the funds are available to do that. They're put in place in advance. Factor two, the benefits sought by the applicant cannot be achieved by other feasible methods. So here, if we were to downsize the array, it undercuts project viability, undercuts achievement of state renewable energy goals. And I guess without a financially viable project, there is no array. So then there's no comprehensive plan goal achievement, no state goal achievement, no funds for RIDC, excuse me. Factor three, whether the variance is substantial, it is not substantial. This can often be a difficult factor to parse through. So substantiality for the general city law criteria isn't just a numbers game. Just because something seems big on paper or deviates a lot from the code doesn't mean it's substantial. What substantial is a factor of harm produced as a result of the variance. And it makes it kind of similar to the first criteria, but I think the message here is there is no harm because of the variance. In fact, the variance is necessary to avoid harm to wetlands, avoid visual harm to adjoining properties, and put the array closer to an area where there are no receptors and likely to be no receptors. Factor four, the variance will not have an adverse effect on the environment. A bit of a broken record here now, but the array is strategically designed to avoid wetlands. Any other design would have more wetland impact. The array is also strategically placed to avoid impact to viewshed. Eventually, your decision will come after a seeker determination from the planning board, so that would allow you to further consider this factor as well. And then factor five, the hardship of the newly adopted zoning law is not self-created. RIDC has owned the property for decades. They've been marketing that whole time. And the new solar law was adopted in January 2023. So because the ownership predated the adoption of the code from which we seek the variance, RIDC did not bring that hardship upon themselves by, for instance, buying the property in February when the code was already in effect. It's also important to note for this factor that the timeline of RIDC, their ownership criteria, that applies to the applicant as well as a bona fide lessee. So to that end, going through all five factors, on balance, it's pretty clear that the benefit to the applicant is significant, so significant that even if there is any detriment, it cannot outweigh the benefit that's achieved here. So with respect to the area variance, we're here to answer any questions from the board and the public.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. What we'll do is we'll go through the same process as before. We have a couple letters we need to read in, but first we'll do a public portion. Anybody wishing to speak on this project can step forward or step backward and state your name and address.
Christian Mercurio, 1015 Jervis Ave, Rome, New York. I am here also, I am here as owner's representative, as representative of Rome Industrial Development Corporation. I'd like to just make myself available to the board to answer any questions when it comes to, I guess, financial, ecological, geophysical, metaphysical, whatever you need.
Anything physical.
But I will just enter into the record that we've worked side by side with Above Grid for a number of years now to address not only these issues, but to just, you know, make the best project that we can on behalf of the community and on behalf of RIDC, who works hand in hand with our community. And I think the two counselors here could attest to the fact that RIDC has been a good partner to the city, and the modest income that RIDC will receive on an annual basis from this project gets plowed right back into community and economic development initiatives for the city. But it is true that this property is 170 plus or minus acres, and about 130 of that is wetland. Probably 133, I think, acres is in wetland. The geophysical conditions are so severely deficient that you could not even float a slab for a home on there. So we've worked with significant hardships trying to trying to make that somewhat productive while, and I think half of you know me well enough that I would never do anything to harm the environment. So we worked very closely with the developers to ensure that we've achieved a project that balances the, you know, that does not infringe upon the wetlands, balances the needs and the sustainability of the environment with the economic sustainability of the project. And it's difficult to do that in a situation like this, and we really enjoyed their patience and creativity when it came down to providing solutions that could actually make a project viable. There were many points where they could have walked away and they didn't, and we're grateful for that, and we support the project. We're available for any further questions.
Thanks, Mr. Mercurio. Anybody else wishing to speak? Public portion's closed. I have several letters, bear with me. Most of them from governmental agencies. I must read them into the record. All right. As requested, the New York State Department of Transportation has reviewed the site plan and SECR information related to the proposed solar facility to be located at 5727 Rome-Tabor Road in the city of Rome. Upon review of the information provided, the New York State DOT does not have issues with the development as proposed. We offer the following comments for the Rome-Tabor solar facility. One, this project will be subject to a New York State highway work permit, specifically a PERM 33COM for the site, as well as a PERM 32 utility permit for any utility connections within New York State DOT right-of-way. Two, the proposed access along State Route 69 shall conform to current New York State DOT standards. Three, the entrance will need to meet our minor commercial driveway standards. Four, provide a driveway layout, including but not limited to A, radii, B, opening width, C, material thicknesses, D, proposed grades, E, 1-on-6 side slopes if culvert is being installed. Five, driveway aprons must be paved. Six, no new utility poles, landscaping, signage, etc. shall be installed within New York State DOT right-of-way. Seven, no equipment or material shall be staged in the New York State DOT right-of-way. Eight, for clarification, are three entry points proposed during construction? That's a question. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. Beth Watts, Planning, PETOE, Beth Planning and Program Management, New York State DOT, Mohawk Valley Region, 207 Genesee Street, Utica, New York. This is from Oneida County Department of Planning regarding the above grid Rome Solar LLC application on Rome-Tabor Road. The subject action is an area variance and special use permit for construction of Tier 3 solar energy system with setback encroachment. The box is checked for no recommendation as to final action. It is dated 5/24/2023 by James J. Genovese II, Commissioner of Planning. Okay. This is from... Oh, all right. This is from Police Chief?
Yeah.
Fire Chief Thomas Akavisi. Regarding the City of Rome, June 2023 Zoning Board of Appeals application, Tabor Road. Our concerns at this stage would be size and placement of access roads. No other comments at this time. Thank you, Tom. This is from the Oneida County Department of Public Works regarding the SECR area variance special use permit to construct a Tier 3 solar energy system wherein the western setback of the solar array will be encroached within the prescribed 200-foot setback. Above Grid Solar LLC, applicant Above Grid Solar LLC, 5727 Tabor Road, City of Rome, tax map 2222.000-1-39.1. Dear Mr. Domenico, the Oneida County Department of Public Works has received the environmental assessment form dated 4/26/2023 for the above-mentioned reviews in accordance with the State Environmental Quality Review Act regulations and site plan are electronically dated 5/2/2023. Could not read the actual date on the site plan and related documentation for the above-mentioned reviews. As an interested agency and in accordance with Section 239-F of New York State General Municipal Law, we offer the following comments. Point one, for seeker purposes, this department has no objection to the City of Rome assuming lead agency status. Point two, the Oneida County Department of Public Works was notified of the above-mentioned site plan for the area variance and special use permit review. We appreciate the City of Rome's consideration in informing this department of these actions. It appears that the proposed actions are not within this department's jurisdiction under the provisions of Section 239-F of New York State General Municipal Law, since Rome Tabor Road is New York State Route 69 within the jurisdiction of the New York State Department of Transportation, and the parcel does not have frontage on or direct access to a county road. Please direct questions regarding this review to James Bartkowiak of the United County Department of Public Works at 315-793-6220. Sincerely, Nicholas DeGennaro, PE, CFM, Interim Commissioner, Department of Public Works, Deputy Commissioner, Division of Engineering. Okay. And then I've got one letter from a neighbor. This is from Thomas H. Stokes, 5716 Rome Tabor Road, Rome, New York. Dear Mr. Domenico, my name is Thomas Stokes. As per our conversation about the proposed solar project on Rome Tabor Road, 2222.000-1-39.1, as you are aware, my home and properties are directly across from said mentioned property. Having said this, we have lived in this residence for over 7 years with our animals and have enjoyed the peace and serenity. We are very concerned with the lack of communication between these large corporate entities, local and state government, with we, the property owners and taxpayers on a solar project and its impact on our community. We understand the desires, possibilities of renewable energy may be commendable but somewhat belated. I also refer to this forum and to this future City Council meetings on this issue, Section F. Setbacks 300 feet from the residential structures for tier 2 or tier 3 solar system is concerning. Humans and farm animals, as well as domestic animals living near a solar project as we do, is a concern, and we are disappointed we were not consulted as we found out these details inadvertently. Please feel free to review this letter with the appeal hearing slated for June 7th, 2023, as well as all future meetings, proceedings, or discussions with regard to aspects of said project. We are not happy with all this at this time, but hopefully full disclosure is in order. Thank you for your prompt attention to this matter. Sincerely, Thomas H. Stokes. Okay. Questions from the board?
Mr. Chair, do you mind if I clarify a few things on those letters before we
go? You know what? Yeah, there was one question. I don't know if you want to answer that one. First of all, are there three entry points during construction?
There's the only entry points we have is this one off of Rome Tabor Road and our point of interconnection driveway off of the plaza.
All right, so those are the only two. During construction, will you just use the main one?
I mean, that's correct.
Okay. All right, that was what DOT, that's the question DOT had, and I'm sure you had some other ones that you wanted to
address. Was the letter from the County Department of Planning, was that in reference to 239M referral?
Yeah,
okay, so that was completed. That was completed, the county referral?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then I guess I need to clarify my own testimony because it sounds like Mr. Stokes might be setting a different provision of code than what I thought he was in quickly reviewing the letter. But to the extent it is correct, this array is not set back, not anywhere near any residential structure, and certainly more than 300 feet if that is right. The requirement. Mr. Domenico issued his notice of denial, I believe, relatively recently, and you know his office is entrusted with reviewing the code with respect to all projects. He determined the only variance necessary is the one that we're here before you tonight. Thank you.
Good. That's it. Okay. Yes. Sorry, Raymond. Go ahead.
So, given the current events outside, we all kind of have fire on our mind. could you just, And it does relate a little bit to reducing the setback. Can you just tell us how you have fire access for these panels, or what would happen in the case of a fire, or what you do to track fires, or anything along those lines?
So I guess starting off, tracking emergencies. This is a single-axis tracker solar array, all motorized, follows the sun throughout the day, then resets for the next day at the end of the day. When it comes to emergencies, these types of arrays are equipped with various sensors dealing with fire, flooding, as well as snow and ice. So once the sensors get triggered, it will alert the notifying authorities and also the project owners, where they will then have a crew available to address the situation.
How about how accessible is it for some? Let's take an example. There's a fire on the backside of the array. How accessible is it for someone to get back there and actually extinguish a fire?
So we'll start here. The point of interconnection. There will be a pole lineup for National Grid. That access road is 20 foot wide per National Grid code. So that is more than wide enough for any type of truck to access it. Here, our access road, John, 15 feet wide. That's usually what we see fire departments request. It's large enough where they can traverse one way and the other way. It doesn't really prohibit them passing each other. When it comes to the roads, this access road leads to the center of the array. When it comes to the roads, I believe right now we're anywhere from 15 to 17 feet in a row spacing. So that is more than enough room for either smaller trucks to traverse if need be, or men and women on the ground to address emergencies.
Do you do any infrared testing your panels periodically for failure?
Yes. So there will be an operation and maintenance plan submitted with this, which will have all that information. Normally, you see checks like that occur roughly every 6 months or so. So, as I also said before, not only are there other sensors, there's also something called the DAS system, where picks up any type of electrical malfunctions, and which will be reported. And if something were to happen, you know, between that timeline, somebody would be dispatched to check it out.
All right, I guess I got some questions. I don't understand where you're going to have your poles
here,
and you're showing your access drive cut, your spec here. Is that going to be a 15 foot wide access along the pole line?
That's a 20 foot wide.
Is it going to be spec'd out as the haul road, or is it just going to be an access for right away?
That's access for right away.
So it's going to be built to this spec because you're going through the wetlands, aren't you?
Here, no. Well, so
I'll have John start. Right, it's over here. They got to get over here.
I don't think so. They're not using that road to access.
The road's not going
to
continue all the way.
So the access road that you're referring to is just for the utility to come in and maintain their poles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're not going to be able to enter.
You will not be able. There's just overhead poles that would extend.
You won't be able to enter the array field from there.
Correct. The only entrance to the array field.
Right. So the only way into the array field is the main entrance.
Correct. Yes.
For any sort of emergency vehicle to for its weight.
That's right.
So when it hits the middle of the panels, it stops. There will be no continuous around the backsides or anything of that for case of fire truck.
There is just a 16 foot offset from the table edge to the fence line.
Just grass. So emergency vehicle, fire truck, ambulance, somebody would never be able to get back there. Right.
Depending on the season, they may have a little bit of difficulty if they wanted it.
Any time of the season, would a fire truck be able to drive through there without getting stuck out to the back?
That would depend on the geotechnical analysis. I wouldn't be able to answer that.
So I would say probably not.
The only thing I would say is whether we're 200 feet setback or 150 feet setback, I think this is more of a special use permit. But, you know, that's what the road is designed as. The fire department was contacted, and it seemed like his only comment, the chief's only comment, was the width of the road. Maybe when we get more into the meat of the seeker, not the planning board, we can have a meeting with that. Talk about if the access road can continue. One thing that is concerning is how much more would we be disturbing if we went up to that direction? And also, you're talking about the rare event of an emergency.
Rare event, right. The last one we had a major concern about that. The residents and stuff were worried about that. And we just don't want anything to happen if that were to happen back there and we couldn't get to it.
Fortunately, we don't have the residents for that same exact situation, but nonetheless.
Right. You know, somebody got hurt back there working, falling, even during construction. Okay.
Is there room to lay hose?
To lay what? Because we're going to get to this later. Yeah.
To like walk back.
Yeah.
There's 15, almost 20 feet in between.
Okay. So what we're saying, there's space between rows if necessary. An individual could, you could lay the hose down, walk it up to any, to reach that multiple location in that rare event of emergency.
All right.
16 panels on the hour. It's probably going to be registered.
There are up to, I believe, 102 panels per full table.
All right, guys, let's just focus back. We're just looking at the setback right now. Any other questions regarding the setback? Okay, I'm going to entertain a motion to table. All right, Raymond, table.
Second.
John Mangelino, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. All right, just for everybody's purposes, we're tabling it because I think you already mentioned it. But we are...
zoning review.
The planning board needs to do seeker before we can actually vote on this. All right. So we are going to, we're going to attack the, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to talk about the special use permit at this point. So you guys are all still in. So item 23-013, Above Grid Rome Solar LLC, tenant of Rome Tabor Road, tax map number 222.000-1-39.1, is seeking to construct a tier 3 solar energy system. This is required a special use permit for this. C2 zone, Rome zoning code, use table 80-12-1, tier 3 solar energy systems in a C2 zone district require a special use. Since you guys are already here to discuss this, you guys have already been sworn in. This is going to be looked at as a special use. Do you need me to read the standards into the record? All right, thank you.
Could you read the letters into the record again, then?
Huh?
Could you read the letters into the record?
I know. See, I'm just going to revert back and say I've already read them in. We're good to go. Okay, we're a little bit too, formal in this, right? So at this point, there are definitely standards for special use permits, things that we need to consider. There's a whole bunch of them, and I think your application addresses each of these. So if you can give us a scoop on that.
Yep.
And we'll get through this one as well.
So as I mentioned in the hearing on the area variance, City of Rome Common Council in January 2023 adopted a new solar law, one of its new ordinances. Under that solar law, in the C2 zone, Tier 3 solar arrays are specially permitted uses. It's a Tier 3 because the property on which the array is situated is greater than 10 acres. As you might know, a specially permitted use, it essentially means that the use is permitted and that the legislature, in their legislative capacity, found that the use is generally harmonious with other permitted uses. But another layer of review is needed to confirm that. And that's where the ZBA comes in with the authority to issue that special use permit. So as the chairman mentioned, as detailed in our Exhibit 10 to our application, the project meets all the special use permit criteria set forth in Zoning Code 80-19.2, subsection F, paragraphs I to VII. I just want to summarize some of the more salient points on that. They are, a lot of them are interrelated as well, and also similar to the area variance criteria. So, for example, this is paragraph II, Roman numeral 2. The nature and intensity of the solar array will not be more objectionable to surrounding properties than a permitted use. And these criteria are very similar to paragraphs 3, 4, and 6. So the array is set back from the majority of the receptors in the area, predominantly screened by existing vegetation, and during the operations, it requires very infrequent visit. There is some of that remote monitoring that we were mentioning. As a result, no traffic will be produced, and visibility of the array is very minimal. The panels are also coated with an anti-reflective coating, which maximizes light absorption and minimizes glare. So adjoining properties won't be able to see it through the trees, nor will there be any reflective glare. There's also no lighting on it, so there's no glare from that concern. In other words, you're not even going to know it's there. You might see the access road from Rome Taberg Road, but that's going to be it. And because of this strategic design location, we're going to be screened using that existing vegetation. It's worth noting, too, that I mentioned this in the area variance, but that the project turns an otherwise very difficult property to develop, one with excessive wetlands, very poor geotechnical, that allows for putting a home on there, for example, and it turns it into a productive property, both for the tax base and RIDC, the owner, who can use those funds to help support other projects and achieve its mission. And then because we are assisting RIDC to obtain income from a long-term lease, we're meeting Rome Comprehensive Plan goals. All of those benefits, like a stable tax base, 21st century infrastructure, and important to note, too, that we're doing so without taking an active farm away that's used. It's a very common complaint of solar is that it's using farmland. That is not the case here. This is, you know, a wetland-infused property behind a Walmart. So a quick summary, those are the special use permit criteria. A more detailed analysis is contained in Exhibit 10. Again, we're all here to answer any questions of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. So again, I don't think we need, Mr. Mercurio, you were very eloquent with your first public comment section. So unless there's something else you would like to add regarding this, if anybody else wants to add anything else, public comment. All right, it's closed. And I'm not going to read the letters back in, but we already read the letters in as far as the neighbors and the other governmental entities. Does the board have any questions regarding the special use permit 23-013? I don't see any questions, but I had one that was...
Motion to table pending coordinated secret review on the planning board.
Thanks, Raymond.
Second.
All right, got a second from John. Discussion. Anybody else want to say anything? All right, so we're definitely going to table again just because what Raymond said. We need to have the planning board do the seeker on this. So all in favor of tabling this item 23-013, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right, item is tabled.
Thank you.
So that was an easy one.
Motion to adjourn.
Or no. One more question. Anybody here for the other two tabled items? No? Raymond
motion
Tucker.
Hey. No, sorry.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Yeah, we got to take.
Oh, yeah.
Table. Yep.
No, it's. It's
I'll take a motion to table 23-014. Go ahead, John.
I'll make a motion. I'll move that.
All right.
Yeah, it does. It.
Anybody want to second the table? Yeah. All right, Ray Tucker, second it. Item should be 23-014. All in favor of tabling that item, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right. Item 23-014 is tabled.
Motion to adjourn.
Raymond Tucker, motion to adjourn. Second. John Magelino, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion adjourned. Oh, my God. It's like, do we cover all our bases? Do we? Can we just get this over?
Oh my God.